All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. It's our pleasure to welcome to the program author Lincoln Mitchell. His book, The Giants and Their City, Major League Baseball in San Francisco, 1976 to 1992. And Lincoln, welcome back to the show. This basically covers Bob Lurie's ownership, and it's funny because he was the savior of the Giants from going to Canada, and then he was the guy who gave up on all the stadium proposals that kept losing and tried to sell them to Tampa Bay. So an interesting tenure, to say the least.
Yes, and first of all, thank you for having me back on the show. I always like coming on and talking baseball. If you're a Giants fan, 45, 50 or older, Bob Lurie is the guy who saved the team. And if you're a Giants fan 40 or younger, he's the guy who sold them to Tampa. So I wanted to kind of wrestle with that and tell the story of this team that twice in a relatively short period wasn't rumored to be leaving. They were always rumored to be leaving, but they really had 1.5 feet out the door. And twice the city of San Francisco managed to reel them back in. And I tell that story, but also there was a lot going on the field during these years also, so I try to kind of combine that to give a feel of the team during this period.
And the funny thing is when they did finally stay, didn't Bob Lurie say, okay, I'll take $1 million or two off the final price and I'm still part owner, right?
He lent the ownership group the difference. I think it was about $10 million. I mean, he made a lot of money here, right? So he bought the team for $4 million, he bought half the team for $4 million in '76, early '76. Could not find another $4 million in San Francisco. Bud Herseth came in from Arizona, put in another four. And a year later, because Herseth was not well liked by the other National League owners, he was a little erratic, and they liked Lurie, so they said to Lurie, buy him out. So Lurie ended up buying him up for $4.5 million. So an initial investment of $8.5 million, he ended up selling for about $105 million, and then loaning them $10 million, and then getting that $10 million back. So he did pretty well, but Lurie, I think you captured it. He was exasperated with this team. Four times they went to the polls, four times they lost, twice in the city, twice down to the peninsula. And at that time, he just kind of threw his hands up and he was ready. He didn't want to keep owning the team. Nobody could keep him in the Bay Area. And I think that kind of turned the pressure on under the new mayor, Frank Jordan, to put the group together and in the business community that they really were going to leave the Giants, and they finally stayed. And of course, we know what happened after that.
I give a lot of credit to Frank Jordan because they were done and dusted. They were going to go. He never gave up. Back when we actually had league presidents and Bill White stepped in and McGowan and I guess at that time Shorenstein, Nibby, Bayer, all the people that got in, that's what people have to remember too, is that it wasn't just one Larry Ellison guy. McGowan had to cobble together dozens of people to try to keep the team in town. So just going back to some of those ballot measures, I remember the one in Santa Clara County, I think it was each household had to pay $1 or something. It just, time and time again, these ballots were just getting absolutely crushed at the polls. And it was Bob Lurie in the beginning that sort of had a vision of hitting a home run into the water, right?
Right. Well, in San Francisco, there were two initiatives, one in 87. The other thing, I'm going to back up for a second. Frank Jordan gets a lot of credit, and I talked to him for this book. And by the way, a lifelong San Francisco baseball fan. I mean, he was reminiscing with me about the Seals. I'm not old enough to see the San Francisco Seals. But he comes by as baseball fan, honestly. He's not making this up because he's mayor. But the other guy, the other mayor that deserves a lot of credit is George Moscone, who is not around anymore, of course, obviously, to be interviewed for this or any other book. But he really, in 76, the team really was gone, and he helped there. The two city initiatives were very interesting. 87, which was a little bit further inland from where the current ballpark is, and that one lost. And then 89, which was essentially to put the ballpark where the ballpark is today, with some splash hits, over the right field fence and all of that. And pretty much everyone who was around the Giants then, as well as Art Agnos, who was mayor then, when I spoke to them, they all said that would have passed if not for the earthquake. Don't forget, so the Giants win the pennant on October 9th. They lose the first two games of the World Series to a much better Oakland A's team, sadly. On October 17th, the earthquake hits, and the election is around November 5th. And the forces that did not want, that wanted to see the initiative defeated, were able to say, not entirely honestly, but that's politics, if you put the money into this, we won't be able to rebuild the city. And after the earthquake, that had more, it ended up losing by about 2,500 votes. So that initiative probably would have passed if not for the earthquake. And then we ended up with the ballpark there anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's, by the way, we're speaking with Lincoln Mitchell, the new book, The Giants and Their City. I remember when Lionel Wilson, mayor of Oakland in 89, said, hey, what do you want to bet for the World Series? Because it's usually, you know, something down homey that these mayors bet in Super Bowls and World Series. And Art Agnos publicly said, there's nothing in Oakland that I want. And at the parade at Jack London Square, Mike McGuire held up the trophy and he said into the microphone, hey, Art, do you want this? Which I thought was kind of a good comeback. But, and I never really liked Art. He was a Boston guy anyway. That's why I kind of liked Frank. Not that you have to be from the city that you're the mayor, but you know, as well as I do, that San Francisco politics, I mean, this is the city when Willie Brown ran against Tom Ammiano, that Willie Brown was seen as the conservative.
Oh, absolutely.
So trying to get anything done in this city is nearly impossible.
Yeah, and it's a fascinating story about San Francisco, because at a time when a lot of other cities were spending a lot of money on ballparks and really creating financial problems for themselves, the voters of San Francisco wouldn't do it. And you can file that away under we can't get anything done in this city, and there's a lot of truth to that, right? But at the end of the day, the voters of San Francisco got a much better deal, right? That new ballpark downtown was not publicly funded the way a lot of other ballparks were. And and the 1909 initiative wouldn't have been publicly funded either. You're worried about Art Agnos being a New England, he's not a Boston, he's a Massachusetts guy. Interestingly, he was in Springfield, Massachusetts, where the Giants had a minor league team. So he grew up, the last couple of years, like when he was finishing high school, the Giants had a minor league team that he, you know, he saw, and he actually shined some of those guys' shoes and told me some of those stories as well. New York, by the way, has had Boston guys as mayor since the last 20 years, from almost all of the century, which is even worse here in New York than in San Francisco.
By the way, how are things going? Are you still at Columbia? How's Manhattan doing?
Well, I was here through the whole pandemic, and this was a really difficult place to be. You know, I mean, I heard it was nonsense. I mean, you would be trying to work at your desk and sign on Zoom and just be sirens in the background nonstop. And you'd see more than once or twice people on my block, you know, in stretchers being taken out, you know, older people who were sick with COVID. It was really rough in the spring. But, you know, New York, like San Francisco, is kind of feeling like it's coming back. The city's done a great job of getting vaccinations out, and it's beginning to come to life. And the winter's ending, which is always a big deal in New York. So more vaccinations, baseball season rolling around, the weather warming up. It's feeling like a good time in New York right now.
Another thing, too, about the Giants is that there was something about that 10-year head start that they had on the A's. Like, my parents are both from Oakland, and they still like the Giants because that was their team for 10 years. So, I mean, they switched over to the A's. But you know, I grew up in a house where if the A's weren't on, then my parents would have the Giants on. And we saw that in the World Series success because fans came out and bought merch way more than they did for Oakland. We also know that San Francisco, its standing in the world as a magnificent city, it shines brighter than Oakland. We know that, and that has something to do with it as well. I was just surprised that even with just that 10-year head start, that the Giants still basically own Northern California.
Well, and I don't think it was a given. I think in the late 70s, there was the sense that this region, the Bay Area, is not big enough for both teams, and one of them will be leaving. And it was back and forth as to which one. And ultimately, they both stayed. But it wasn't the Giants, remember, in the 80s, which is when much of this book takes place, the marquee sports franchise in the Bay Area was not the Giants or the A's. It was the 49ers, right? Yeah. And that began to change really probably in the mid to late 90s. And now it clearly is the Giants. But it is, you know, this moment where the Giants, you know, football's early 80 teams were really not very good. They were playing in Candlestick Park, which was, you know, a terrible ballpark. But, you know, I was doing an interview with someone who wasn't from the Bay Area, and I said, you know, the only reason people don't talk about the Oakland Coliseum being a terrible ballpark is because Candlestick was worse, right? But the A's had this opportunity to really consolidate, particularly in the early 80s, the early years of the Roy Eisenhart era, when, you know, they had Ricky Henderson, they had Billy Ball. There was a real buzz around the A's for a while. And that was their moment to really either marginalize or push the Giants out of town, and they couldn't close that deal. And now they are clearly the number two baseball franchise in the area.
Last question for you. It's kind of funny. You mentioned the 80s, and the Giants were sort of seen as the blue-collar team that played in this park, but that's where the real fans were. And the A's had the highest payroll in baseball, and they won three straight pennants, and of course the 89 World Series, and they had drawn 3 million fans at the Coliseum. And now that's completely switched. The Giants now are the quiche wine sippers, and they're the corporate team. And now the A's, those are the real fit. That's the blue collar team. I just think it's funny how it's completely switched.
It has completely switched, and it does kind of capture, you know, this is the Giants of the 70s and 80s were a blue collar team, but they were also a blue collar fan base, but it was also something, I mean, they drew, you know, some years 500, 600,000 fans that they, you know, well into the early 80s. It was, and it wasn't, the other thing that was different then is that if you were in San Francisco, let's say in North Beach or in the Richmond District or anywhere, you know, you didn't see people in Giants hats, Giants hoodies, Giants t-shirts. It was almost like I was in high school in the early 80s, and I think people kind of thought I was weird because I was so into the Giants. It just wasn't, it was the team, but it wasn't kind of part of the city the way it's been for most of the century. That's for sure.
No doubt about it. Everybody should pick up this book, The Giants and Their City in Major League Baseball in San Francisco, 1976, the bicentennial to 1992, and the author, Lincoln A. Mitchell. Lincoln, great to talk baseball, especially Bay Area baseball with you. Congratulations on the book. Where can people pick it up?
Thank you. Great to be on. You can get the book pretty much at all online booksellers. So pick it. If you, whatever bookseller you want to get, it's all online. If you want to get it straight from the publisher, it's published by Kent State University Press, and you can buy it straight from their website as well.
All right, and I'll look forward to your book on the McGowan era.
Okay, that may take a while, but I'll let you know.
All right, good stuff, Lincoln. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back on Sports Byline.